responsible for addressing a couple of issues. One is that one talking about the contracts that went out to the affiliates.
Yeah, everyone will have a chance. We'll go quickly. These are questions that are going to be asked anyway, those who get them.
At any rate, just so that you understand what the so-called disclaimer is in the contracts with Pacifica affiliates, it says if stations regularly attach disclaimers to devalue Pacifica programs, our position was with the three stations who have actually signed this particular contract, was that essentially why would they run a Pacifica program if they were running disclaimers? And several of the disclaimers had inaccurate information. You know, the inaccurate information around the union contracts. We have contracts with three of our stations, including and the fourth, which is National Programming, have union contracts. There's been a National Labor Relations charge filed with WBAI because Pacifica and I personally have refused to negotiate with volunteers as part of a union contract. My position is that volunteers and paid staff essentially have different they have different needs and they have different responsibilities, and it is inappropriate for volunteers to negotiate the wages and working conditions of paid staff. And I think if you look at hospitals, museums, and other radio stations around the country, I think that the unions will be on the side that I'm on that volunteers are very valuable, but they do not have a place in a union negotiating the wages and working conditions of paid staff. On the other side, Dr. Mary Frances Berry, who is the new chair of Pacifica, in dealing with the democracy issue, if those of you that have proposals to make Pacifica more democratic, she's certainly willing to listen to it. And she said she would, if you will send her in the mail proposals that will help Pacifica in dealing with this strategic plan to meet those goals and be more democratic, she's certainly interested in hearing about that. But the point is that Pacifica is not a government. Pacifica is an institution. The managers are responsible to the Board of Governors and to me. And I am responsible to the Board of Governors, and that's how Pacifica operates.
All right, look. Pardon? Okay, thanks for your assistance over there. I appreciate it. No, it's kind of the questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, Pat, I'd like, in the spirit of what Norman said at the end, to sort of try to heal this fratricidal civil war. My name is Jim Dingman. I served on the program council at BAI for 2 years, and I was the elected unpaid staff representative on the local board. This fight has been going on for 3 years. It's an unnecessary, fratricidal, typical left-wing, let's-kill-each-other type fight, and it should end today. And I ask you to pledge to this audience that you will stop, because you have mentioned here this NLRB decision. Many of the listeners here do not know that the unpaid staff won their right in the New York City National Labor Relations Board decision to be part of the unpaid staff. I went to those hearings, and thousands of listener-paid dollars have been spent in essentially attempting to destroy a labor organization at WBAI Radio. So I ask you today to pledge to these people here that in the interest of let's heal this division, that you will stop your appealing of this decision to the NLRB and just stop paying money to bust a union. Secondly, you have made comments in the press in San Francisco where you have said that you received offers for $90 million to sell the station in New York City. Those of us in New York know that the national board, without informing the local board in New York in the past, made an offer to WNYE Radio to trade swap the signal without informing the people in the station. Now, all we've heard for the past two or three days is constant talk about media concentration and centralization and the increased values of radio signals and television signals. How can you possibly think that those of us in New York who are hearing all this, when you make a comment that $90 million has been offered to you, what are you doing? Are you doing that as a threat to intimidate those of us in New York who are involved in fighting against these anti-democratic decisions that you're making? So I'd like to know what the truth is about this whole issue of selling the station, and why don't you just stop this today and pledge to all of us here that we're going to try to have a fresh start.
All right, let me address the issue of the sale of the stations. There are in the Pacifica stations, there are two signals that are on the commercial band. We regularly receive, I get maybe one or two calls a month during certain periods of time, at least one a week, offering money for the signal in New York as well as a signal in California, in Berkeley. The signal in New York, I've been offered, the organization has been offered as much as $100 million. The signal in California, the offers have been as much as $50, $60 million. The signals are not for sale. The board has said that over and over and over again. Prior to my being executive director and what Jim is talking about in the NYU, the board okayed the executive director at that time to look at the signal of WNYU to see if it was possible to switch it with the signal at WBAI so that that signal could be used and the money could be pocketed to essentially support program endowment for the rest of the organization. This was several years ago, and that fell through, and it has not been done since. The board, in its strategic planning process, essentially said that we are committed to having five strong stations. And any conversation that different board members raised about the sale of any Pacifica license was thoroughly squashed.
Okay, over here.
Yes, I'm a long-time listener to WBAI and a supporter in monies and volunteer in answering the phones with pledge drives. I find the credibility of public broadcasting to be at issue right now because WBAI is being forced to be hypocritical on the point of Pacifica's gag order. Their major issues involved with the change of WBAI, including union busting and moving WBAI to Wall Street. And these things are not discussed on air. They're not allowed to be discussed on air because there's a gag order. Now, these are not... the reason for the gag order originally was so that one person wouldn't backbite on another person on air, you know, internal squabbling. This is actual difference in how the radio station should run. And the people like myself who have supported BAI over the years should have a say in it. But if it doesn't get on air, majority of people do not hear it and will not have a say in it. And I've gone to a few meetings of the board, and more than once, by different members of either the local board or the national board, it has been said this is not a democracy. This has been said by both Pat Scott and Nan Rubin. When we were just trying to discuss things, they are ruling it with an iron hand and without allowing the listeners and people who are giving money to the station. And
we got a lot of people.
My question is, does Pat believe that this will increase the popularity of public radio and believe that people will believe the station if they can't even talk about what's happening within the station.
The gag rule issue. First of all, Pacifica has had a long-standing policy, predating me certainly. It's been in effect for over 20 years, which is that the internal shenanigans around any number of things are not to be discussed by programmers on the air. Pacifica does, however, believe that what's going on in Pacifica is and should be a subject for people that are listening to the station to deal with. We have regular reports by the manager. The calls that come in to the manager are not cut. They come in directly from people that are listening to the station, and management of the station answers those questions. We sometimes set up special programs to deal with special issues of concern to people in the broadcast area. We also have local advisory boards where people come and make their concerns heard, and those concerns filter back to the governing board of the organization. We do not, however, feel that the airwaves should be used to discuss the internecine kind of battles that go on in Pacifica. I think it's perfectly ridiculous to expect such a thing, and that no audience is, quite frankly, interested in it except the people internally and involved in the politics of Pacifica.
Lynn has something she'd like to say,
then
we'll go to the next question.
This kind of policy.
Excuse me, y'all.
I just wanted to add that this kind of policy is also standard at most community radio stations that we're talking about here.
Yeah, well, I want to say real briefly, I understand, Lynn, that as somebody who works for Pacifica, that's a position that you're comfortable with. I know not everybody at Pacifica, even staff, is. But let me say very quickly here. Stations have had reports to the listener, and the roof doesn't cave in. You don't want this stuff threading through your public affairs programming day in and day out by any means. But in a way, it's kind of like the purloined letter. It's right in front of us, and we don't do it. Radio's about communication, right? People listening to the station, they probably have a little bit of interest in the station. It could be a circumscribed report to listeners that included open phones and people dialoguing. And sometimes people will say things that other people think are outrageous or dumb. Well, that's part of the process. I think strictly from a pragmatic standpoint, even if I didn't care at all about any semblance of democracy, if I was a manager, I'd say, yeah, give them an hour a week or an hour a month. Let's do it. You know, and I think since we do care about democracy, there's a good reason to do that. One other quick thing, and it's not even in the context of a union battle. It is the context of these stations now around the country have this choice. And I would ask Pat to consider and bring up to the board, I would request, and I know other people feel this way, that Pacifica withdraw essentially what is an ultimatum to these stations saying, you sign away some of your free speech rights on your airwaves outside of our 29 minutes. If you don't sign it away, you can't get the Pacifica Network news. I think it's wrong. It's self-defeating. I think that ultimatum should be withdrawn, and I would ask that Pacifica consider doing so.
First of all, the stations have agreed with our request that they not air disclaimers right next to our programs. I think it's a perfectly reasonable request, and so do they. I mean, it's not an issue anymore. I don't know why you keep dealing with it as if it is.
Next question, please.
Also, wait just a minute. Norman also said it would be good that we had open the phones once a week or once a month. We do that. And we absolutely do it at every signal area.
Go ahead. Let's go to the next question. We got a lot of people. I want
everybody. Yeah, we've
to
got a lot of people in line, and one of the things that does distress me is process or lack thereof, while by those who want to protest around democracy. My name is Loretta Ross. I've been a community activist for the last 25 years. I am on the board of Pacifica Foundation and proud to be so. I am an at-large member. We are at large because we don't come from signal areas, hopefully bringing a more objective point of view to the deliberations. that we and the decisions that we have to make, because we don't have any vested interest in any one station or another, but in the politics of public radio. This is why we choose to serve. And I very consciously chose to serve at this very troublesome time. I get asked to be on a lot of boards of directors, and certainly walking into the Pacifica board at this time wasn't the safest decision in the world, as you can imagine. I wanted to raise a couple of issues as I see them, both as a board member, but also as a political activist who deeply cares about Pacifica. And I am really concerned that it is almost inevitable, and I don't even want to get into a race thing, but there is a tendency to disrespect the persons of people in this process that really belies the so-called democratic message that people say they are promoting. Because if you can't respect my personal right to speak, how can you care about my democratic right to participate? So shut up. Participate in the process. First of all, I wonder often if people are as concerned about the lack of democracy as they are the lack of getting their way. Because they do not use the democratic process, they abuse it to hammer and make very personal attacks on people that they don't know a damn thing about. They haven't even bothered to talk to the people that they are calling these very ugly names. And that pisses me off. Secondly, at Pacifica Board, we have determined that every voice doesn't deserve a mic. Sorry, that's the way it is. We have to be responsive to what our listeners and our supporters want, not just what programmers want to do and say. Because this is not personally owned radio here. We've had situations where we had to deal with where somebody died and willed their wife their radio slot. As if that is something that you can just personally put in your will and just hand on like Pacific is your personal property just because you've been on the air for X number of years. Sorry, that kind of business is over. And I'm one of the board members who is willing to take the heat and engage in any kind of respectful dialogue that people want to engage in. But I'm here to tell you that the personal attacks that you think you can get away with, usually because I'm black and I'm female and Pat is black and female, is going to end. Because when it starts off as a personal attack, we will take it to the street as a personal fight. And it ain't about Pacifica no more. It's about people using the democratic process to practice a very unsubtle form of racism and sexism.
All right, let's go to the next question then.
I'm glad to hear, my name is Steve Rendell, I'm from FAIR, and I'm glad to hear the issue of democracy again brought up in the discussion of Pacifica. I have two brief questions. The first is, as a member of the progressive media community, I've heard rumblings that Pacifica is not altogether happy with one of the most important media outlets in our country today for progressives, and that is Democracy Now! I've read an account in Salon that Democracy Now! Is being asked to rein in its politics, to tone down a little bit. I'd like to direct that question to Pat Scott. The next question I'd like to bring up is to Norman Solomon. I'd like him to talk about his vision or what he would suggest for an accountable board and for a management at Pacifica that would be accountable.
Thank you for a fast question. If we all have fast ones, we can get through these.
First of all, there is no attempt to rein in Democracy Now. You shouldn't believe everything that you read in the white liberal press.
Well, it will be great to celebrate the turning of the millennium with Democracy Now! On the air with a much bigger budget than they have now, and I'm sure that's something that Pat would like also. In terms of structure, I mean, I don't think there's a silver bullet structure to solve problems, but I do know that I was on the board of KBOO Radio in Portland for 5 years in the 1970s. I was elected to the board twice, as everybody on the board was elected by members. The roof didn't fall in. As a matter of fact, it's a very stable station. I just went there and spoke at a benefit for KBOO in Portland, one of the strongest community stations in the country. So I think, you know, there's a myth that you can't have some semblance of an election. I'm not saying it would solve everything. I'm not saying even that necessarily every board member needs to be elected. But I think along with the structural changes, there needs to be a real openness of dialogue and debate, and even occasionally using the airwaves to talk about this and having very open, even-handedly moderated community meetings so that something approaching dialectics can take place. I think that also would be a very important shift.
My name is Andrew Phillips, and I'm a former program director at WBAI.
Yeah, please, next question.
My name is Andrew Phillips, and I'm a former program director at WBAI. I just want to say a couple of brief things. Firstly, the malaise at Pacifica, I think, is part of the malaise of a lot of progressive institutions. If one were to look at Impact Visuals, for instance, there too there is a labor management fight. If one were to look at the Media Network, the organization that pipelines monies to individuals that don't have 501c3 status, there is a labor management fight. And of course, there is one also at Pacifica. Why is this so? I suggest it has a lot to do with lack of resources. How can the left, how can Pacifica particularly, raise more money more efficiently than the kinds of fundraising we currently undertake? High price premiums, much too highly priced for most people, good premiums. I left WBAI because I was frustrated by a lot of these issues and a lot of the political issues too that I don't want to talk about now. I started something called the Virtual Radio Network. We distributed some programs. We did it successfully. We showed that these programs themselves could make money. I mean, the Gary Noel Show pulls in at least $50,000 a year in cassette sales, redistributing information.
Is there a question at the end of this? Just curious.
There is a question, sir, that goes like this. Why is it that Pacifica cannot set up its own catalogue? Why is it that Pacifica has not been able to create powerful programming which in fact does exist at the station, and Democracy Now! Does not come from Pacifica Central, it comes from WBAI. When Pacifica started the program on Iran-Contra, it began 6 months after Iran-Contra began. WBAI started ContraGate at the end of November in 1986. It took 6 months for Pacifica to do anything about that issue. They finally did it, but wouldn't it have been terrific if they had done it 6 months earlier? Pacifica is consistently behind the curve. I wonder why this is. I think it's a question that needs to be addressed by the left at large. The final question is this conference, are we going to hear about this conference and this particular panel on the Pacifica News?
There have been a number of people here recording the goings-on at this total conference, so I'm sure that it will be covered on Pacifica News as well as the local stations. Democracy Now! Is a program that was funded by the five Pacifica stations. It is a national program, not a WBAI program. The malaise at Pacifica, as you call it, is one of trying to find resources to do programming, essentially. I said earlier that we operate on a $9 million budget. That is for national programming and running five major market stations. Until just recently, the programming has been such that there were very few people listening to it. We have finally begun to produce national programming like Democracy Now! And like Living Room, where you have a paid host across the week so that an audience knows where to find a program. That's how people listen to radio. We do not continue to have the Balkanized program where we have the Israeli hour, the Palestinian hour, the African American hour. We have stopped doing that at most Pacifica stations, though not at all of them. We have started looking at our most talented volunteers and programmers in the organization to try to use the KU satellite to get those programs to other community radio stations, which, by the way, have a more difficult time than Pacifica in terms of saying that we don't want you volunteer on the air anymore. There is a more important program, because even Democracy Now! Runs at one station only one day a week because the station finds itself unable to move volunteer programmers in those time slots. So we're looking at serving the needs of internal people, both paid and unpaid staff, and really doing that at the sacrifice of what an audience really might want or need or can utilize?
Let's rush her to get the abbreviated question version. Yeah.
This is definitely abbreviated. First, I think that Don needs to address the rest of the panel and say that if there was truth in advertising to say, you know, confront Pacifica issues, the rest of the panel probably could have gone somewhere else and talked about the future of public radio with Pacifica, but not exclusive to Pacifica, because I think there are tremendous issues in public radio very much outside of Pacifica that I would like to be able to discuss. I'm not even going to ask a question about that here because I'm afraid all these other people will get mad at me about it. But I also want to just say that in the same vein, I'd like to see why are there not similar sessions on analyzing Z Magazine? Why are there not similar sessions analyzing the Institute for Alternative Journalism? Why are there not sessions on Paper Tiger Television? Why not Free Speech TV? I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a session on Pacifica, but Pacifica is not the only alternative media in this country, and Pacifica is certainly not the only alternative media that could stand to have serious examination of the way that it makes decisions and the way that it reaches its audiences, and that I think it's a little bit unfair for Pat to be the only one in this entire three-day conference to have to justify how her organization runs, no matter what we think of it.
Sure. Okay, my name is Mario Murillo. I'm the Director of Public Affairs Programming at WBAI here in New York. I also produce the program Our Americas, which is a co-production of BAI and NACLA that's on about 30 stations around the country. And I also have the pleasure of working with Maria Martin on Latino USA. A lot of things have been said, and I agree with... I'll speak as I try to please, as I please. I agree with Nan that this is not a Pacifica forum. I've been one of the outspoken persons within BAI to hold a public forum like this with BAI and Pacifica and union representatives in a public forum in a space perhaps like this, maybe even larger, but it's been shot down by a number of times. But I'm going to continue egging it on because I think there's a lot of clarification that needs to be made on all sides of the argument. And there's not just two sides. I think there's a question of Hill's vision, Lewis Hill I'm talking about, the founder of Pacifica. I think he did have a contradictory vision. It was a liberal vision on one side, trying to keep an open space for everybody, a voice for the community. But it was also a radical position, a vision of being a force for social change. Now, obviously, when you have a radical vision like that, you're going to have a vanguard. You're going to have a leadership position, and somebody's going to have to make those decisions, whether we like it or not. So regarding David, I'm concerned. I appreciate the work you do, but I'm concerned when you say that there's a Politburo kind of operation in a lot of these stations where you have a program director or station managers or whatever making decisions that only they could make. Certainly who else is going to make them? Certainly they have to have some democratic accountability, and I think that's the number one problem right now at Pacifica. There is no accountability, but there's obviously there have to be some decisions made, and there has to be a leadership that's going to make that decision. And I'm in the same position with you, distributing a national program. I know that when I pitch it to some stations, they look at it and say, well, we already have a Latino program, even though Our Americas is not a Latino program. It deals with other issues. So I want you to address that because I don't think there's a contradiction in that. The other question about the union, I think it's another forum, but I think there are a lot of contradictions in the way it's set up, and internally there's a lot of things, but I still believe that that's something that has to be dealt with internally. It's something that should not be brought from the top down for us to live with. As far as the gag rule, also somebody in a position of responsibility at the station who happens to be a member of the union, I understand why we can't have 25 different producers going on and talking about things, which many of which have a lot of the misunderstandings that are going on. So, but I do believe that there should be a space. So certainly we cannot have everybody coming on the air at any time saying whatever they want and the other very often a lot of misinformation being put out. But the biggest concern that I have, and I want all of you to address this perhaps, is the point that you, Pat, said, which is the issue of agitprop journalism. For me, I want that clearly defined, because this is why I'm here. I've worked in commercial media. I've worked at some of the all-news stations here. I've worked in national news networks, major multi-million-dollar conglomerates. I've worked in community radio. I've done video. I've done television. And the reason why I'm at Pacifica, and I've been there for the last 9 years, is because I take pleasure in having a space to do alternative, so-called alternative media. And when I hear somebody say, "What we can't be doing agitprop journalism," I came in driving in today listening to the reports from Argentina about President Clinton's visit to Argentina, and what they were saying was everything that President Clinton was saying in his press releases. All right? And if I don't have the space like Our Americas or WBAI or Pacifica Radio to try to give an alternative view, and I'm going to be cut down for being agitprop, then I'm going to, you know, have to look elsewhere. And I think a lot of people here feel the same way. Just if you can define that.
About the Politburo remark, actually I was thinking of NPR stations, which would be good to re-include in this discussion. A certain fossilization has occurred among the gatekeepers, the program directors and the station managers. Specifically, let me name a few. Max Weissick at KCFR in Denver. Ruth Seymour at KCRW. Bill Kling at Minnesota Public Radio. Jack Mitchell at Wisconsin. Can I finish, please?
Well, whatever. Go ahead, David.
Jack Mitchell at Wisconsin Public Radio. These people have held these positions for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. There's no young blood coming in. There are no opportunities for people who join these organizations to participate in meaningful jobs. That's what I was warning against, and what in fact has happened. And because these gatekeepers are so entrenched, so embedded in the bureaucracy, it's reflected in the conservative programming of National Public Radio, which I seek to change. That was the context of the Politburo remark.
Very quick response to the point about agitprop journalism. By far, the place I hear horrendous agitprop journalism the most frequently is on National Public Radio. And I mean that. Agitprop journalism in the sense of agitating to maintain the official reliance on official sources as representing the basic story. And because it's so ubiquitous, we don't call it agitprop journalism. We just call it mainstream journalism. It's official source journalism. And if we do authentic journalism, I'll be satisfied because there's going to be a multiplicity of sources, not relying on corporate or government America.
Okay, we're going to extend this. We managed to get the group that's supposed to come here in 10 minutes to involuntarily agree to wait 15 minutes. And so we're going to go till 3:45, but I think at that time we're going to stop. So if people, I know you got a lot to say, but if you can get succinct, would really be respected by the people standing behind you, people in the audience, and up here. Thank you. Whose turn is it? Yours, okay.
Hello, my name is James Hibbler. I'm a listener, a producer at a radio station, BAI. And I found it, I'll try to be brief, but I found David Barsamian's introduction using NPR censoring Noam Chomsky interesting, because as a producer of and collective member of Radio Bandung, we recently were preempted and we're going to have a Noam Chomsky interview live, and but we were preempted for reasons that are somewhat unclear as per the memo that we received. But it was for the stated reason of it was a conduct issue. I can speculate as to what this was and as why, as we were preempted a second time for the second time this summer. The previous week's show was with Robert Fitch, the author of The Assassination of New York, and he was describing the corrupt history and the nature of the corrupt nature of the realty market in New York, which also included a critique of WBAI's move to 120 Wall Street. And it's my belief that the reason we were preempted for the following week's show is because we had this critique and analysis, and we took 40 minutes of concerned listeners' calls because this was the first that they were hearing of this. And though the move was announced through Pacifica's own press release, apparently analysis and critique of the move was breaking the gag rule, which seems to be enforced willy-nilly at WBAI, because I've heard other people report news. I'll be brief. So what I'd like to ask is, why is there a gag rule at Pacifica? Why is the WBAI folio now being canceled like the other stations? Why was the public and the staff not actively involved or consulted in the move, which I think may be fiscally and politically irresponsible? Why is Pacifica union busting and using listeners' dollars to do so? And finally, I just want to say, as I approach the microphone, my boss, as I am both an unpaid staff member and a paid staff member, wrote my name down as I approached the listener's mic. And I find that highly suspect. And I wonder if I myself am going to be expunged from BAI because of my belief in community radio. Thank you.
Excuse me.
I've answered the question about union busting before. There's a disagreement about whether volunteers should be in the union. I don't think that can be called. That can certainly not be called union busting. We have contracts with all of the other Pacifica stations, and I don't want to go through that whole thing again. The move to Wall Street is a building that during the time when Wall Street was having some serious financial problems, there was a deal cut with the landlord and the city of New York that really essentially provided this space at way below the market rate, so that essentially we will be getting almost twice the space that we currently have at WBAI and new studios for a lot less money.
Let's go to...
Again, I address the gag order that we don't use our airways to talk about internal Pacifica stuff on the air, WBAI, except in slotted times, and it has been talked about on the air.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, it is public information, and it has been on the air.
Okay, Mayor. My name is Don DeBar. I'm a community television producer and activist in Westchester County, New York, and a listener of WBAI and Pacifica. There are a number of things. One, the whole discussion about democracy makes me think that people need to look back at the original source of the term, to the original societies where it was employed, and realize that it was for a minority of people who were considered people under the law at that time, and not for the bulk of human beings who were not considered people. Secondly, I would suggest that everyone who's not familiar with what a not-for-profit corporation is and is not familiar with the form and legal expression of a not-for-profit corporation get familiar with it. In New York, look at the not-for-profit corporation law. I assume Pacifica is domiciled in California. I would get familiar with that if you're interested in it. A lot of this discussion is, to me, as someone who's familiar with these forms, I understand why you want to have the discussion, and I understand and agree with the underlying principles, but the form of the expression is not appropriate, and if you end up litigating this thing ad nauseum, I don't think it's going to work out favorably for people who are interested in hearing a wide range of opinions and not being dominated by the board. The idea of me walking in here today and hearing someone from management in a union dispute define the membership in a union sounded absurd to me, and I thought it was something that was settled a century ago in this country. Obviously not. But the thing I really wanted to say has nothing to do with this. What I think Pacifica should be doing, if it's going to try and promote peace and understanding and all of these things that need to be promoted in this society, they might consider trying to use the programming and the airtime to increase the critical skills level of the audience, whether it's a small audience or a large one. And if the idea is to increase the size of the audience at the expense of boosting the skills of the audience to understand what's going on around them, I think it's a mistake. In any event, I don't think that that is going to have the outcome that everyone says they want to have, which is to increase social justice and peace in the country or the world.
Is there a question at the end of this?
Yeah, the last, really. Has anyone really been looking at what having programs with soothsayers, numerology, or different things that promote metaphysical, non-critical thinking in the audience. What effect that might be having on trying to promote critical thinking in the audience.
Okay.
That's it. I'd like to hear an answer to that, though.
Yeah, go right ahead. Next question, please.
Yes, I'm Dave Silver, a charter member and supporter of BAI. I'm afraid I won't be quite as polite as some of the others who have spoken. Number one, you call union busting what it is. That's union busting. The attempt is made to lump unpaid, you know, like volunteers, like there are people coming in to man the phones for marathon time, right? Alumbe Brath puts in a tremendous amount of work producing his program, and it's excellent. Where we live, Sally O'Brien, Sapia Bikari, put an inordinate amount of time. And it's an outrage to think that you want to exclude people like this from the bargaining unit. You know, the AFL-CIO is not a revolutionary organization, yet they recognize that the American Consulting Group is a union-busting organization. Finished with that. We should support the union in this fight down to the wire. Now, the second and more important thing I would like to mention, and to me it's the longer-range question, a political struggle for the soul of this nation. Let me repeat, a political struggle for the soul of this nation. And let me put to rest the nice words that Pat gave us about the responsiveness of the management. There are phone calls and faxes on Valerie Van Isla's desk from 3 years ago when I raised important questions. Now let me give you a little example of what I mean, right, about this political struggle. And I particularly, as someone who fought fascism, I was particularly incensed, for instance, with one broadcast that equated Kristallnacht and the fall of the Berlin Wall, right? A fascist manifestation with something, for those of you that may not know, was intended to protect socialism. But what has been happening in the last 3 years has been what I call a descent into liberalism. Now, we call it community radio. We call it alternative.
Could we sort of speed it up a little bit?
I want to know, what are we alternative to if not a predatory, racist, sexist, imperialist system that kills for profit? It's not in the programming, because we see now as guests former CIA directors. We see former admirals. We see all kinds of left liberal guests in the news, behind the news, commenting on anti-communism in a left disguise. I don't see any room for Marxist-Leninist, by the way, by a long shot.
Okay,
so I want to urge that if they do not turn around as far as the union question is concerned, we should picket the hell out of the station.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Joe Friendly, a local listener.
Can't hear you.
Speak up.
I'd like to know, in view of the... I got it. In view of what has been written about the Pacifica Board's activities, for example, in the Z Magazine issue of June 11 and other writings, I wondered if there was a sense among the Media and Democracy Congress participants, people here, and in the future more participants who are not here, should the Pacifica Board, the National Board, resign because they're just not kosher, they're tainted by... They're tainted by having held so many secret meetings and otherwise have indicated, despite their self-serving statements, I don't really believe in their hearts. They believe in the Lewis Hill principles. And I just wondered if there was a sense of the people here whether the Pacifica Board should stand for a democratic election rather than being a self-serving, self-appointed group.
Articles in Z to the contrary, Pacifica has never had closed meetings. I'm sorry. Loretta is in the audience. Loretta has been around for the last couple of years. She can tell you that there have not been closed meetings. CPB did an investigation. The Inspector General said that the meetings were closed. CPB itself took a look at that report. and said that the report was not to be sustained because it was inaccurate. And that is the case. There are no closed meetings at Pacifica. If you go to a Pacifica meeting, you will see that the board meeting itself is open. The committee meetings are open. The only thing that is closed is when we're talking about personnel and talking about confidential information relative to contracts.
If I can follow up on that, the reason I raised that point was that what you call retreats actually involve business being taken.
The report found that the retreats were, it qualified for.
For the transmitter, we could have 18,000 micropower radio transmitters all around the United States. The two questions for Norman Solomon are, first, why has micropower radio been omitted from this panel? And the second question is, how long will we have to wait until micropower radio becomes recognized as a valuable and necessary component of community radio?
Second question first. A lot of people already recognize that it's a valuable component of community radio. And you can't have one panel talk about everything, but I believe it's been on the agenda of this Congress, and I know I've been on several panels about the subject.
All right, this gentleman.
I think your turn.
I was thought it was the turn of my... I know how to work this thing, I think. Thought it was the term of my esteemed senior colleague over there. You know, I am first and foremost a listener to WBAI radio, and secondly, I'm a community activist and someone who believes that over the years that radio and the media as an institution is not one that has served our interest. Therefore, we must resort to the medium as a drum. And for me, WBAI has been a drum. It has been the drum that brings me the voices that dare to be heard in a place else. It is the place that in 6-4 and 6-5 and 6-6 and 6-7 kept me out of Vietnam, because it was the voice that dares to tell me that what the government was telling me was wrong. It was the only place back in the Iran-Contra situation that was there to tell me that what was going on was wrong, that the Scuds missiles weren't doing the great jobs as they claimed they were doing. And in fact, it is the institution that tells me in the middle of the night that the cops are coming, yes, to lock the neighborhood up, and so you all better be prepared and get ready. And that may be propaganda or it may be agitation, but I do believe that it gets the information out to the people, and it ought to continue to do that. As a steward in the union of WBAI, and as someone who is a descendant of slave, the labor laws in this country are derived directly from the slave code. We, as people who have volunteered to serve time in BAI, and we're not just talking about time on a casual basis, believes that it's fair to have some kind of relationship with management spelled out in a clear fashion. Working condition, hours of work, if you have a program on the air, what procedure you would go through to take that program off the air, and that change is not possible. And as someone from a disenfranchised community who is looking in this room and looking at the panels and looking at the constitution of this Congress, that knows that black people needs to be represented and that the white power structure needs to fall. I am not going to hide behind my race. Yes, I've been beaten enough because of my race, but I know the greatest traitor to the race has been what I call the Weebies, the loyal scouts. America or Africa would not have been penetrated and would not have been lost if it wasn't for the Indians who were the scout. Africa would not have been lost if it wasn't for the Africans who took the Europeans into the interior. Pacifica will not be lost if for people who are supposed to be on the inside working for the enemy, or if they're not working for the enemy, they ought to be. I do believe that at this time in history, when there are so many people who are descending back into virtual slavery in this society, when busting union is something that is celebrated that it is necessary to fight an all-hand on all fronts and get all the toehold to protect the rights of people as workers, as laborers, and to respect their dignity. The NLRB ruling that came down around Pacifica is one that is now being used nationally to help people to organize themselves into working in these involuntary workfare programs. To find Pacifica and would be taking a backward notion to say that other volunteer organization does not go along with the concept of negotiating in a collective fashion with people who would dedicate their labor and their service is to be taking a very backward position, and we ought to be leading. In terms of the mission of Blue Hill, if we were to follow into the step of Pacifica today, in 1949, you could not challenge the war, the most popular war in American history, World War II, and to the executive director of Pacifica, the director that would sign a lease for a radio station, and the general manager would find out about that lease through a press release that comes to the news department. Are you willing to sit down and to negotiate a contract with all the workers? Are you willing to submit this issue to a panel of people that are respected in the community to see and to straighten out some of these lies, ambiguities, and misunderstanding that we claim that are coming from both sides? Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to a question. Yeah, let's go on.
No response.
If you want me to answer the question, the answer to that question is no.
Okay, is this on? Okay, now,
please go ahead. Yeah.
Bob McChesney, I'm going to ask four very short questions,
okay,
and I'm going to hope for answers,
okay,
not just to move on to the next person, okay?
Okay?
First of all, I want to apologize for calling out. I understand why Lou Hill would kill himself in the middle of these kinds of, and I'm not kidding, heated discussions. So I'm sorry for calling out, and I really want to follow the process. Here are my very short questions that I hope to get answers to. First of all, in terms of the report to the listener on KPFA in which listener call-ins are taken, when is that on every week? What's the regular time? What day, what time? Is it on the same time every week? Question number one. About the gag rule. Not too long ago, Larry Bensky, who is a favorite, and Bill Sokol attacked Jerry Brown on the air. Will they be sanctioned for their attack on Jerry Brown or rewarded in the sense that takes me to question three. I understand Jerry Brown is going to be running for mayor of Oakland. Will he be replaced by Larry Bensky even though he violated the gag rule? And part four, if I play this panel on my show, will I be fired for violating the gag rule? Thank you.
Of course you would. That's so cool.
You know, I would just like...
All right, well, let's you want to take the first part, is that right?
Yeah, let me take the first part. I'm acting general manager at KPFA, and we have talked about having a show. We have yet to schedule that since I've been there for the last couple of months, but Dennis, I can promise you we'll take that up in program council and see when we can schedule one. Yeah. I think we're going to... Anyhow, the second thing is... I guess I can't answer the questions about what national programming is going to be.
I can't either at this point.
It's just this Jerry Brown issue just was, I just found out about it less than a week ago, and so I don't know the answer on that one.
Maria, did you have something you want to say?
Well, I wanted to save my remarks actually for the end, but I'll tell you, sir, excuse me.
Yes, he can.
Without being fired.
Well, the issue is his show is only an hour long, so we may have to spread it out a little bit.
Yep, Maria, go ahead.
I just want to say that in many ways I found this discussion very enlightening. In many ways I found it heartbreaking. Because if Newt Gingrich was here, he'd have a field day. You know?
He is here!
He would have a field day. The total lack of respect with which we're treating people who have worked on both sides, who believe in what we believe. I have seen many Latino organizations die because of this kind of stuff. And now, when we need our institutions and our organizations to get messages out there, all the more, I think that when we have these difficulties, we need to treat each other with compassion and with respect. Be it people from Pacifica or people from National Public Radio, we who are on the left are so quick to judge one another. In some ways, it's easier for us to judge each other than to take action where the real enemy is. And that's all that I want to say is that we need to recognize who the real enemy is. Yes, our institutions need reform, but let's not destroy them in the process.
I hate to say it, but we are actually 15 minutes past time. We're over time now, and we've been told we have to vacate for the next panel, which has been waiting to use this room.
Let them join us.
Well, I think they've got something they want to talk about, too. You're welcome to join that panel, I'm sure, if you'd like. Thank you very much for coming.